Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your co-host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not so favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today, we're going to discuss two shows, count of two. And that is NBC's Grimm and Constantine. They both come on Fridays. It starts at 8 p.m. Central and ends at 10 p.m. Central. So that's 9, 8 Central for Grimm, 10, 9 Central for Constantine. And they're both on NBC on Fridays. And
we're season 4 premiere of Grimm.
That is correct, sir.
That's right.
So we're going to start off with Grimm.
All right.
Okay. So last we spoke about Grimm, there was the epic wedding.
All shite had broken loose. I mean, that was an epic finale, I must say.
God.
Well done, Grimm. Well done.
Oh, my God. That was just, we had no complaints about that wedding.
Witchy bong hat. Don't forget witchy bong hat.
Witchy bong hat. Yes. We had the really build up to trouble going to the wedding. We had a decapitation. Our poor Captain Renard was shot. Oh my God. Nick lost his powers. Wu is suspicious. Mm-hmm. And now we begin with season 4.
That's right. And don't forget, Adeline is also on a plane. She's out of there.
Vienna. Going to Vienna to get her baby.
Her baby that's not there, that she
no,
doesn't
it's not, it's not there, maybe. I don't know. So we start, the opening shot of Grimm is a shirtless shot. And it is of Captain Renard with bullet holes and blood coming out of that beautiful chest.
Oh, Renard's having a hard time
seeing that. Because, like, yeah, I wanted to see him shirtless. And it's like, bam, he's shirtless. But, like, it's bloody. And, like, he's unconscious. Mm-hmm. And it's gross.
Yeah, Renard's having a rough time. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, because, you know, Renard's a little bit more than your average human. I kept thinking that something was going to happen, that there was going to be a spark or
a Volga
or something, you know, the rapid healing or something. But no, Renard's just laying there. He's just laying there.
And, I mean, we might as well wrap his part of the story up now, because he flatlined and straight up died, man. I don't think that's the end of it, but I'm not happy.
Yeah, well, again, we know Renard is a little bit more than human. So I'm guessing that something is coming. But
there was a blonde lady staring at him in disbelief, which we don't know who she is, but she didn't help. And Renard is technically dead at this point.
Well, she probably just needs to blow a little bong witch hat on him and he'll wick right up. But
well, he needs to, because he's like, why I watched the show was strong. But the show still needs him. And if they kill off his character, I'm going to Portland and I'm raising some hell. Or I'm going to write really angry tweets and I'm going to blog about it. And you know I haven't kept up with my blog.
Oh, no. Nobody wants to see Wrath the blog online. Cat's Wrath. You don't want that.
So, let's see what happens. We're feeling the police are at Nick's house.
Yep. They're trying to retrace the steps. What went wrong here?
Oh, there's a decapitated man.
There's a head over here, and there's a body upstairs. It happened in a police officer's house, and we're trying to figure out what's going on.
And then when we get to the house, because somehow there was just like this really long ride to the house, they just go ahead and decide to admit that Trouble did it.
Well, see, okay, so that makes sense from a police kind of context, because there are
a whole bunch of... Have you been a police officer? What do you...
Well, no, I'm just saying, you think police are going to say, you know what, just run when we get there. No, this is their buddies. This is their pals. This is their posse. So they're going to say, okay, I know you had a hatchet. I know you just chopped the head off of
an FBI
officer. Yes, you're correct, machete. Machete. I know you just cut the head off of an FBI agent. You stole his car. You left the scene of the crime. You were not going to be able to tell them everything that really happened. But the best policy is to come clean with the cops. So you just go march right over there because trouble was ready to bolt. She was like, I'm out. So when you get all your buddies together and the story is consistent, well, I guess that's how you can roll. Because she did tell the truth about what happened.
It was a consistent story.
They said that. It was very
with
consistent.
No charges, she was let off.
However, one of the officers was suspicious.
It was a lady officer.
Yes, the lady beak officer. And a problem with the story, she felt as if something had been left out because she, just like Wu, had seen the magic book of the drawings in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so already people are suspicious. Wu was suspicious, and the other agent, the beak agent, is suspicious as well.
Yeah.
By the way, the book that was there, did Trouble draw that, or was that one of Nick's books?
That's one of Nick's books.
That was one of Nick's books? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Wasn't sure. Because, you know, she's been drawn away, too. So,
well, no. She, conveniently chopped the head off of a dude as soon as she got to the chapter about decapitating dudes.
Yeah, it looked like she was reading ahead there.
Right. And then, put it immediately into practice.
Right.
Instead of just, learning theory, she went straight to lab.
But the thing is, about half of the monsters in the Grimm universe, you take them out by chopping off their head. So that could have been any page, really, in there.
You are correct, sir.
But for it to be conveniently open to that page, of course, Wu to also go on. And not to bring up the fact, hey, you know, guys, we just had someone chop a head off of somebody, and this old book that looks like it's made out of people's skin is also open to the same head chop. For him not to bring that, I mean, I know he didn't have to come out and say, this looks just like the monster that I saw before y'all put me in the insane
asylum. No. He said it. He had a talk with Hank.
But
it was conveniently interrupted.
Hank, well, I know we just haven't gotten to that yet. I'm just talking about at this point, when he's investigating the scene.
He didn't want to go back to the crazy house.
Oh, right. But I'm just saying that, you know, for him to be seeing all this stuff come together, it seems kind of convenient. And so then you had Beak Officer go through there, and she inspected the whole scene. And so Wu left the book on the bed, wide open to the page, with the heads and whatnot just sitting right there. And the Beak Officer, she comes in, and she looks down, and she goes, oh, this is interesting. Closes the book and puts it away. Detectives you want up in your joint after a head roll. They leave the blood and all that up in the house, but they put the book away. That's untidy. So we're going to put that away. And so after apparently about 3 hours of inquisition, they're like, our story checks out. Let's let her go home after all of this. Trouble's like, okay.
And then she slept in the room where she decapitated the dude.
Another thing I also found a little interesting. We know that Trouble is the only Grimm in town now.
Mm.
So when we had Inspector Beak watching the cross-examination in the room, what? At no point did she not get a spidey sense tingle? Did Trouble not, you know, I know she couldn't see her through the glass maybe, but she probably is looking at her the whole time. She didn't see her eyes or something.
I thought you can only see the Grimm eyes when you're upset, because you know they never know Nick is a Grimm until they vogue or they get upset, and then they look at Nick and then it's like, oh, you a Grimm, and then they get all crazy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's probably what's it. So she was.
But everybody was calm.
She was calm. The big lady was calm. Everybody was calm. So, okay. All right. So, yeah, so after only 3 hours of interrogation, they're like, cool. You just go back to your hatchet home and everything will be fine. Everything new. So
Shady Mansion.
Yeah. So now we got Trouble and Nick and everybody skipping back home to say, okay, well, whoo, that was a close one. And right after they see that, who comes to the door? The newlyweds come rolling right in
their gown.
Still in their wedding gear. This is later on that I'm like, really, you two? Really? How?
Hey, they wanted to get the use out of that dress because they probably was expensive.
$7,000. I think it was $7,000. Oh. Is what they said. And much better than Mama's dress. So it was that fortunate. So here's Rosalie. So the gang's all here. Okay, we got Juliet, Nick, Rosalie, and Monroe. We got Trouble. They're all chilling in the living room with their scrub brushes because apparently no one bothered to clean things up. And now they have to deal with the aftermath. The aftermath of, the interesting wedding that went down. The loss of grim ability on Nick with the dead body that is chilling in the hallway, and the fact, and let's not forget the emotional tension of Juliet dealing with the fact that Nick slept all up in the bed with Witchy Adeline.
He didn't know it was her.
Listen, I'm not coming to the man's defense. I'm simply pointing out the sequence of events that have occurred.
They don't need a recap.
This is I'm just trying to describe the multi-layers of tension that's going on in the house. You see this tension?
It was excellent. You're right. You're
tension. It's tense. Yes. It's tense on Grimm.
You're correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You're done?
No, I thought you were going to take it from here. I was doing it.
No, I was just saying you were right. Yeah. That was good. I thought it was a really great premiere for the fourth season. It addressed a lot of things that, you know, questions that we have, but, you know, it leads to more questions. We went and we visited the royals. They know that Renard is in big trouble. He's going to die, but they want to pin it on the Grimm. Somehow, though, I do believe it's going to fall back on him because his, I guess, uncle, the head of the family, does not want Renard's father is still alive, and he does not want to know that his son is dead. So we're going to get an introduction to Renard's father at some point. I don't know if, you know, who he's going to be, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be epic. And I think that Renard is going to recover in some sort of magical way, or maybe it's like the time, you know, like his heart has to stop in order for his heart to start going again, like some weird Klingon thing or Doctor Who thing or so. You don't know.
Yeah, because that's what the blonde lady is about. She is Renard's out. So she's going to do something, going to wave the hat over him or breathe
some
life. We don't
know she's a witch.
Well, I don't know what she is. I'm just pointing out.
She's not a hex and beast.
Something's going to, you know, we know Renard ain't gone. We know Renard ain't dead.
We hope
so
Renard ain't gone, because that would be a very sad day for me, because, like, if that's the last we get to see of his pecs, that's a real tragedy.
Okay, we know how you feel about Renard. So
I'm just letting you know, Carl. I have always wanted to be honest with you and open, so we have an open dialogue between us.
How about we talk about the villain? How about we talk about the monster? So we got the Squid Man. Whose ability is to suck the memories out of people. He just descends on you, sucks the memory out of your head, and then he knows what you know, and he leaves you as an invalid or something.
Visible.
Yeah. So that's the latest henchman loose on Grimm, running around now. And he needs some kind of equation information from scientists or whatever is running around. He's accumulating valuable knowledge for the poobahs back in the corporation or whatever that's running all the evilness. So
Wolfram and Hart.
Yeah. So we don't know. Do we know yet what it is that he? I mean, other than the fact it's an equation, do we know what he's going to use?
No.
Okay. All right.
It's a mystery.
All right. So we got him loose and running around, and
Ebola.
The what? Huh?
Ebola.
Okay, we got him loose and running around, and the only Grimm that can stop him now is Trouble. And while all this is going on, yeah, now let's get back to the scene between Hank and Wu. Because we were getting concerned. It was taking Hank a little while to figure out what was going on. And you remember those early days?
Oh, man.
They were like, rough. Oh, no, come on. Hank's got to know. Hank's got to. And they would do something at the last minute. Well, it's getting a little long in the Wu right now. It's been a little long. They should have helped him out a long time ago.
I thought Hank was going to give it to him. I was on the edge of my seat, but Hank played him.
See, that was kind of rough because you know what Hank went through. So for Hank to not be coming out and hooking him up yet.
He should have. I think before they got the news about Renard, for Renard to find his first of kin,
yep.
that Hank was getting ready to come down. He was going to drop the hammer. It was time for action, but that convenient interruption.
Yeah. And I think of everybody that has had the truth revealed to them, I think Wu's got the biggest beef right now. He ought to have a problem because he's like, appreciate you sharing this information with me. Think you could have let me know before I spent months in the insane asylum? it'd be nice if you just broke off a little hint from me before that. Could have worked through some stuff a little earlier. And when did you know? Oh, we knew like a year and a half ago. But hey, we just didn't want you hurt. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wu needs to be upset. Wu needs to be upset. So that was a tender almost moment there when we saw Hank. Hank was about to come out and tell him, and no, last minute they yank it away.
He can always say that to him though. Like, dude, I was just about to tell you, but what had happened was
that's your defense. That's your defense. Months in the insane asylum. Y'all know what they did to me in there?
What had happened was. So I don't know. I think that's gonna come out, and I hope it's okay. You know, but.
It's an epic unveiling. That's what I want. I want there to be. I want Wu to have a big. I don't want it over a chunky bar in the waiting room of a hospital. That's not
chunky bar.
That's because they were in front of the convenience. You don't want it coming out like that. You want something epic to happen, and Wu just it all descend on him like, holy crap. And everybody's looking at him like, oh, yeah, by the way, we better tell you we're all half monster. That's how you want Wu to get it, because
I think they're going to save it to the end of the season. And what? Then and then they're going to come out, and then everybody's going to see it, and it's going to be like a whole, like, derp moment. Okay. And then it's going to fade to black, and then we're going to hear him rant next season.
You know, if Renard ever wakes up again, that green slime that he was trying to give to Nick is probably still in the warehouse. You know, I mean, I'm sure it would have gotten a little ripe by now, but it was, Eye of Newt to start with. So maybe there's a chance if Renard ever gets back up, he could go, oh, by the way, the magic potion is chilling up in Adeline's vat back in the...
That have to do with Wu? I mean, yeah, but...
Oh, no, sorry, I have moved on.
You moved on. Oh, okay. I was just thinking that answered my question.
No.
You're good. Right. I just wanted to follow because I was just not. For a second, but I am now.
All right.
So I think that's gonna. I think everything on Grimm is gonna come out in a wash. But I'm ready to see what new craziness they can come up with this season. So they did a really good job last season. They kept us on the edge of our seat. We can't always watch. Coming back for more. I think the slow burn to the lead up to the wedding, which guys don't like weddings for some reason. I was pumped. I think they just did a really good job to the lead up, and it had a really great payoff. So I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen in this latest season. And I do have to say that this thing, 4 seasons, Grimm, on a major TV network, 4 mm-hmm. seasons, a genre show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well done, guys. Well done. Keeping it fresh.
It's just a sleepy little show, and it has its following, and I am really proud for NBC to be supporting it. Like, of course, next season, because I'm saying this, they'll cancel it, but
we are enjoying it while it's here.
Yeah. We are. Lousy.
Well done, guys.
Yeah, well done. So you want to move on to Constantine?
Sure, let's do it. Okay. They're trying something new. They said, hey, you liked half monster people before? Then let's bring you half undead people in cabs, Constantine.
No.
Because nobody notices a cabbie driving around in a 1950s, Cadillac, Chevy, whatever the thing is. Here we go.
So this is kind of how I wanted the Dominion pilot to be. This is what I thought Dominion was going to be, this level of intensity and snark. I don't read the Constantine comic books, but I do read the Dresden File books. And this guy really reminds me a lot of Harry Dresden. I don't know who came first or whatever, but I really like this guy's attitude. I'm watching Resurrection and I'm watching Constantine, and I don't know, I'm in a mood for some really ridiculous religious Christian based scary mythology. I think that it had been overdone for so long that we kind of just got tired of it. And to me, this feels like, hey, I haven't seen this in a while. Let's do something fresh and new with it and throw some demons. Yeah, it feels a little supernatural. Yeah, it feels a little Dresden Files. Yeah, it feels like a whole bunch of other things. But to me, Carl, when I saw it and when I watched it and why I asked if you watch it, it's giving me the Legend of the Seeker feeling again, where it makes me happy. So I enjoyed this pilot. And I kind of wanted to hear what you thought about it.
It's all right.
Oh, no.
It's all right. Here's the thing.
Grumpy.
I'm sorry. Because I get what you were talking about. I was looking forward to that as well in the pilot. Let me tell you what my issue is.
Okay.
Because you're right. It is very supernaturally. I mean, a lot of that is kind of is coming back, and this is sort of like NBC's version of Supernatural. So I say, okay, I'm doing that. But obviously, if you're going to do that, you got to bring something new to the show. You got to put your own spin on it. And what I figured they're going to do is adding just a little more dash of dark comedy to it, just a little more kind of nuttiness to it. To what's going on. What I was really hoping for was a whole extra little Bruce Campbell comedy darkness to what's going on here. I get kind of what they're trying to do in terms of this guy and his abilities and how this is routine for him. And he's not only is it routine for him, he's annoyed by it. And more undead people. Who do I have to save this week? You get that vibe, and he's got the sort of haggard, worn out, I've done this so many times before, look about him, that this is routine, and the magic of the world that he sees is routine to him. So in this episode, in the first one, a lot of stuff is happening. Things are happening really, really fast, and as we viewers, this world being unveiled to us, we are along for the ride. And we are, you just got to kind of roll with the craziness, roll with the nuttiness to have it kind of piece itself together through the eyes of other characters or through us, sort of living through what's going on. All right.
Mm.
So I get that. But it's almost there, but it's just, I
don't get you right now, because like, what was it missing for you? Like, I don't understand. I thought it had the dark humor. He was cracking jokes on the freaking psychiatrist. He was in the crazy house. He has guy from Lost cracking jokes with him. He has his own Castiel. He just doesn't have a brother except for the guy who comes back to life. Maybe that's going to be his sidekick. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Regenerated guy's gonna be a sidekick. Yeah.
So I mean, I think that we got a little bit of attitude out of this guy. We got a lot of action. We got a lot of danger. We learned a lot of his world and what happens in his world and the mechanics of how some of the things work. We got to hear him say some cool Latin. We got to see some exorcists and some scary, like almost Asian horror story chicks, but they were blonde. Mm-hmm. And I thought this pilot was really successful, and I'm not really sure like what you were looking for specifically that didn't hit the notes for you.
I guess if I hadn't seen anything else, I'd have been all right. If I hadn't seen anything else, but
this is DC Comics, fool. I mean, come on.
I wanted it to be a little more of just everything. The effects in this one were okay, but they were not groundbreaking. The effects and the things that they did.
I mean, they're just a means to an end. This is not an effects-driven show.
On the pilot, this is the pilot. So at least that's when you're supposed to pull out.
I don't think that this is going to be an effects-driven show. I think that was just fancy dressing. I mean, are you watching this for the effects? Is this something that you expected out of the show?
I'm just saying each element that I was watching was just a little. So the effects almost, but you know, they kind of fudged it on some of the stuff. Some of the effects they did some very traditional kind of camera cuts and that's the shocking, supposed to be scary kind of thing. The monsters that we saw, or the otherworldly beings, also very similar. Like you're right, it was kind of like what's the show from? It was kind of like Dominion, where our buddy came down with the angel wings, and
it was better than Dominion, though. It was because Dominion felt painful to watch. This is what I wanted this had the edge that I wanted. Dominion had too much Canada on it, and it had too much beef flavor on it. This to me brought a level of A game quality to it.
A little bit better, but then again, and so. With him running around in his traditional trench coat, there was so much of Dresden and Castiel going on there that even the look of it, because you want the vibe of the show to differentiate itself from some of the other stuff that we're seeing, and even that kind of felt so much like what we've seen in Supernatural and other places. I'm like, okay, so they're not differentiating themselves with the effects, not radically new. Okay, they're not differentiating themselves with the theme. That kind of looks like, okay, well, maybe it's going to stand out as a comedy because, man, I would love some Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell nuttiness. Well, guess
really?
What? It's
well,
not that kind of funny either.
Well, it's so a little bit of funny because he's a smartass. I think he's going to get better with the smartassery.
I'm hoping that the smartassery is going
to
get better. So,
I don't want it to be a comedy, though, because I'm not in the mood for funny. Okay. I'm in the mood for snarky, but funny.
So we're not going to get the comedy. All right, so now we're going to get some really, you know, some awesome paranormal kung fu kind of stuff. I'm ready. Let's see what his powers are. And again, with the drawing on the ground and the incanting spell and be gone. I did enjoy the exorcism in the asylum. That was kind of cool, and I would have liked that same kind of intensity to have been carried on with our last boss at the end of the episode, the guy that killed the electrician or the security guy.
Mm.
But still, and of course you got your pocket hacker who can just hack into stuff whenever Dresden needs it. I was a little underwhelmed, but I'm still willing to give it a shot. I'm going to give it some time. I'm going to give it some time. But
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. you defend with Sky.
Had their redemption. They started slow and they got better. And that's exactly what I'm doing here. So I'm going to give them some time. But I just. Okay, so other than the snarkiness. What else?
I think it's different from Supernatural in that. How is it different?
I'm curious. I need an answer on that one.
It feels like it's a little bit more Catholic based and not urban legend based, although Supernatural is more angels and demons now. And I mean, even the demons in Constantine have black eyes. I don't know. It just to me has a different vibe that I appreciate. Like, I enjoy Supernatural, but to me, they kind of gloss over the Christian mythology. And me, I want to hear something different, because like I don't really know Christian mythology, but when they put it in a story and they make it scary and mysterious, and it's like Constantine the movie and not like the what was the movie Dominion was based off of?
Oh yeah,
that one. It's not like that, where they just brush over stuff, but they get really deep and they start coming up with references, and you can, you know, look.
It's got actual biblical references. Yes, and it makes you feel end of time.
Right, and it's kind of historic at the mm-hmm. same time, and mm-hmm. you know he's dealing with actual demons. I mean, Supernatural does that. They come out, they have every angel, and like Stargate too, they pulled out every Egyptian god that they could, and Supernatural is pulling out all sorts of elves out. So it's just, I don't know, this I'm into it. I want that right now. Like, I've been watching horror movies with exorcisms in them just to, I don't know, because it's exciting. I'm in the mood for it, you yeah. know? So yeah. there's like maybe a trend going on, and I don't know. I'm there with the trend that's going on with it. And so I'm feeling Constantine, whereas Supernatural, it's a little, I like Evil Dean, but the brothers there, they need to do, I don't know what they need to do, but it's getting kind of stale a little bit. But Constantine, he's coming out, he's got swagger, he's swinging his junk around, talking crap, so I don't know. Well, and I think, plus, I'm still a little miffed that the Dresden Files show didn't do well, so this is my vicarious, not Dresden mm-hmm. thing.
All the stuff that you said, I hope pans out, because I like I said, the part, the exorcism part, like you said, that was sort of grounded in the in you know, the Christianity faith and had all of that sort of supernatural element in it, that I thought was the part of this that showed the most potential. Even the very last scene, think about the last scene where he's down in the tunnel or whatever, and the ghosts or the beings are starting to surround him, right? And this is the moment where we get to show off the freeze shot, where this is Constantine's badass. There, even that moment, his pose, just what it just didn't have the same gravity that it should have. Something's not quite clicking yet with it. So if they flesh out the stuff like you're talking about, if they can keep it and make it very real in the darkness and in the world, end of days kind of stuff, I still enjoy Supernatural. I like Supernatural. But if they can differentiate it from Supernatural in some other way, something's got to have, then I'm willing to give a shot. I'm going to watch a couple more. But so far, it's just not quite doing it yet for me. So,
well, I think that you are a broken record in that you said pretty much the same thing about Grimm. And to be fair, I did too. What? I did about the first season of Grimm.
No, I like Grimm. No, I like Grimm.
No,
and
we,
I like.
No, because we said it was like Supernatural, but like with less hot guys. Okay, I'm pretty sure Stephanie said that.
Yeah, I don't think that was me that said that.
But we still was like, this still feels like Supernatural. We need for this show to show to be different. We needed to differentiate itself from Supernatural. Okay. I absolutely recall you saying that. Okay. And that's fine, because this is the first season. And I think
first episode.
Well, right. It's the first episode of the first season. And okay. Grimm was not always the polished thing that it is now.
I was a fan of Grimm early on,
especially. You were, but there were still issues, and we pointed them out, but we still watched it because we saw a nugget of hope, and that nugget grew into whatever nuggets grow into that's bigger than a nugget.
Grimm had a bigger nugget. So I'm good. Like I say, this is just the first episode. I agree with you. And by the way, do we think the girl is coming back? Is
she? No, I think she's just a one-time thing. Because I'm looking on IMDb.
Odd, because there was so much character development with her, and I was thinking, you know, she was going to be sort of like a sidekick. But then at the end of the episode, she just kind of disappeared. That's odd. So, all right. Well, okay.
She's a movie star, so I was surprised to see her in that in the first place. But her IMDb page, sorry. Oh, no, she's not. She was on True Blood. Okay. But no, it just says that she's here for the one time. So I don't know what that is about.
That would have been an interesting pairing, very much like a doctor and a companion. That was just is ripping off everything else. Why not? Yeah. But too bad she's not going to be around. So, okay. Well, I'll give it a shot. But
Well. So, whatever. I think it was a good first showing. It gave me, like, I haven't felt the Legend of the Seeker feeling since Legend of the Seeker. And this is I want to watch this on Saturday and just check out and pretend that, you know, they're not, like, creepy people taking advantage of religion, that religion is actually kind of the mythology that it was based on is actually kind of cool. It's kind of cool to feel that way. Mm-hmm. It feels like interesting. You know,
it's more grounded than just making up Monster of the Week.
Right. It's just
tied in with the Bible and the mythology of the story. It would be very interesting and would be very new. So
not new, but because it's the Bible. But
no, I mean in terms of modern, you know, shows.
Right. So we'll see. I think Constantine. I mean, he's not what I would say is attractive to me. He's just he's there, but I like his kind of grizzled attitude, you know? And I do enjoy the snarkiness. I love the business card jokes, like, you know, Master of the Dark, I'm gonna take it all. That I enjoy more than anything, because I think Harry Dresden goes on and on about his entry in the Yellow Pages. It says some crazy crap too, and it just reminds me of that, and it makes me laugh. So the similarities there don't bother me to other things. I don't mind it, and I just think, I don't know, I think it's a fine show. I wish What's Her Face would have stayed, because she makes a great
foil.
Yeah, so I don't know what they're going to do, but let's hope they don't go the way of Dominion. I don't know what they're going to do with the show, but the film Constantine with Keanu Reeves, I love that film. That's a really good film, but I like this guy as Constantine better than I do Keanu Reeves. Because Keanu, he has issues. He's trying to do action hero sometimes, but
he doesn't. He's got to be cast correctly. Yes. There's some roles that Keanu cannot do.
So any last thoughts on both Grimm or Constantine, Carl?
Nope, I'll give it a shot. I'm looking forward to more Grimm, and seeing as Constantine will be right after this, I will watch it.
Live TV. So my question is, what made you watch it? Or were you gonna watch it always? You just like,
yeah, no, I for all the things that you mentioned, again, you know, I do like Supernatural, and so I like the other world being right here alongside of ours, and watching the challenges of those who can see both worlds. That's a fun premise, and I enjoy that. I like the supernatural, you know, experience. It just I enjoy ghosts and the paranormal and all of that. So to see another show dipping into that space and trying to show us that world, I was excited about. And that's why I wanted to see Constantine. So I saw the movie as well. I was not as big a fan as you, But I thought grumpy. That that's no, no, I thought that if someone other than Keanu had played it, I would have enjoyed it a lot more.
But that was before I read Dresden Files, and it was before I've seen this Constantine, so I didn't have anything else to compare it to. So I enjoyed it because it was first, and he didn't speak as much, and I don't know. He worked at that moment in that role for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can rewatch that movie mainly. And then the other actors in it as well were really just amazing.
They were very good.
So I think that's why that film works. This, I don't know what the other characters are going to do, because the one chick that I kind of got attached to, she's no longer in the show.
That was surprising.
I don't understand.
Because we are seeing this world through the eyes of the folks that are hanging out with Constantine. And it felt, I mean, I know they were trying to get a lot across in this first episode, but it also felt a little bit rushed, because there was a lot of stuff that could have been interesting and I wanted to know more about it, and I figured was going to come out through his interaction with the girl, but they kind of glazed over a lot of it. So a lot was going on in the episode, and
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind that a lot was going on. But now that I'm finding out that she's not a part of it, it's like, well, what did I just watch? Mm-hmm. What did I just watch, number one? And number two, are the people that come after, will the people that come after it hold up to the same standard as the pilot? And then number three, or whatever number I am on, I don't know why I'm even counting. Where is it going to go? Like, was this the pilot to sell, to get more episodes, to order more episodes? And then, so we're going to like go to Planet Canada, which I felt we were already in, which I didn't mind, but, what is it going to be after this? So that's my concern. I thought it was a very good first showing. It could have been like a movie of the week, as far as I'm concerned. And we don't even need to revisit it. It was a good, perfect pilot. Now I don't know what they're going to do afterwards. So there is a concern.
Well, let's see how it goes. That's all I got. I have concerns as well, but let's see.
I liked the first. I think it did a really good job. I liked the character. I just really wish they would have kept the other girl too. So,
yep.
Or the girl. So, is that it, Carl?
I think that's good. These are single episodes. The seasons have begun.
All right. So we got something fresh for you. And that's our show, Carl. We love you guys' feedback. Voicemail. We'll get you on the show. Play it. Talk to you. And you can call us and leave that audio voicemail at 773-336-2686. If you look down at your phone right now, you could just tap it and it'll call the voicemail. And go straight to voicemail and you can leave it. You can go to our website, leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. And you can also go to iTunes and leave us a comment. We love that.
You can find us online on Twitter and Gmail. I'm at RoboMinister. Kat is at FancyFimbot. You can reach us both at Sci-Fi Party Line on Twitter and on Facebook, Sci-Fi Party Line, and Google Plus and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.